Begin last week looking at a series I started on planted, being planted in Christ, planted where we're supposed to be. And we went through Psalm 1, a wonderful psalm that he says, "He shall be like a tree planted. I sure like that. And we went through and saw many things and walked how he abstains from really evil, ungodliness, and then he meditates in the Word of God. Not necessarily reads the Bible, although obviously you have to. Memorizes Scripture, although you should. But he meditates upon it. He sits and he thinks about it. You ever think about the Bible? Just verses come to you often. I was asleep one night a while back and I was memorizing, as I already told you, I was trying to memorize through the book of 2 Timothy. And Paul made a statement. He said, "I'm now ready to be offered." And that thing woke me up out of a dead sleep. I don't know why. But you think about it, I'm ready to be offered, like a sacrifice. And obviously he did, didn't he? That kind of scared me a little bit. Woke me out of a dead sleep. And I thought, oh, how much of a weak Christian I am, you know. He's ready to be offered and I'm not even stable in some ways. But the Word of God, meditating upon it and thinking about it. We ought to have a right mind about this and focused in on it. Jeremiah 17, as we continue tonight, and thank you for bringing your Bibles. We jump into it here real quick, and we see that, again, he makes note of and mentions that of being planted. Notice, if you will, verse number 5, Jeremiah 17:5, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in the salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the river, or by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." And then he follows it up in verse 9 with, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it?" Now, we covered a little bit of that last week. But the title of my message tonight in the Planted series, I have it, "Are you planted or are you parched?" You parched. Have you ever been in a situation before where you are so parched? You all have, haven't you? And I can remember on playing sports or whatever it was in the football field or the soccer field or something of that nature. It was never work either, by the way. It was always playing something. I got parched and man, I was so thirsty. I mean, it felt like I was going to die. You kids ever feel that way? You're so thirsty. And you get heat exhaustion. You feel like you're going to pass out. And a couple times I've been there before, and man, you feel sick to your stomach and all of that. Just recently, I was helping my brother-in-law, and we cut down this big tree for a fella, and we helped him. We cut it down, and then we were cutting it up, you know, and loading it into the truck. And we decided to do it at about 12 noon, which was the worst idea ever. We decided, man, we were dying, and I was dying, and I grabbed he had a little gallon jug, and I just poured it on my head, and took a drink of it. It was warm water. Oh, that turns your stomach, doesn't it? Warm water. But when you're in those situations of parchment's another thing. When you're parched, you want one thing. Right. What is it? Water. And you want ice cold water. I should have brought an ice cold cup of water, right? But water. You don't crave juice. You don't crave soda. You don't crave anything. Your body wants the life-giving water. Isn't it interesting that the Bible speaks of the water of life, and Jesus himself likens himself to water, the water of life? You'll drink just about anything. Several times I know you've done this too. You've taken out that old hose, or maybe even just standing water, whatever. You just drink it. You're so thirsty. And you think about this here, and I have a quote here, "A clear indication that you're not planted is when you are parched." That's pretty elementary. You're parched. You're parched spiritually, emotionally, mentally. You ever felt that way before? I mean, the whole gamut. You're just parched. You're dry. You try and read the Bible, and then it's just not getting anything out. You try and pray, and you can't pray. You try and you hold yourself together, maybe emotionally, and you just can't figure out where you are. You're just parched. And the person here that's described here by God through Jeremiah is an individual who is truly parched. Jesus will later say, you know, on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, blessed are those that, what, hunger and thirst after righteousness. Thirst after it. And then he gives a promise with it. They shall be filled. And so talking tonight again about being planted in Christ. Planted. Do you know the world today talks about not being planted, but being very go with the flow? Whatever your heart leads you to do, go with your gut. You know, all those terms that say, whatever your heart says, what's your heart telling you to do, brother, sister, child, friend? That's completely opposite from the Bible. Jesus came one day and he was walking with his disciples, and you know the story maybe, John chapter number 4. And he's walking, and the Jews would literally, to avoid a small section, you could call it a village or a town called Samaria, they would literally take almost a 2-hour trip around Samaria to get up into the region of Galilee. They'd come back down and go all the way around it again to come back into Jerusalem because they hated the Samaritans. The Samaritans, if you don't know, were half Jews. They were half Jew and half Gentile predominantly, and they were other mixes as well. But they thought that they were not pure people, very prejudiced in that. And Jesus breaks that. Recently we've heard Jesus Christ. I heard one guy, you may have seen it too. Jesus Christ is a picture of racism. It's a bald-faced lie. Jesus, what does he say? I must needs go through Samaria. His disciples said, you're crazy. What do you mean, go through Samaria? No way. It's a rough part of town. They're not going to accept you. They don't like you. In fact, we don't like them, you know. Jesus was the farthest thing from racism. But he goes through, sits down on the well, and a lady comes up to draw water out of the well, right? The Samaritan woman. And he says, a woman, can I have a drink of water? And she very rudely says, how you being a Jew asking me for water? She didn't even say, well, he looks thirsty and man, I'll be nice, at least give him some water. She was very rude. And Jesus was very kind, as he always was. And he said, woman, if you would have asked me, I would have given you water. She says, sir, you have nothing to draw with. You have no pot. You have nothing to get the water with. What are you talking about? Give me something. Again, very kind of caustic and rude. And he says, well, I would have given you not only that water, but physical. I would have given you what? That water which springs up in everlasting life, that you will never thirst again. Never. Jesus is the picture of a planted person, obviously, but he is the water of life that gives us and feeds those roots that we have. And he says, woman, I want to give you life. And she goes there away and she goes and tells the whole village, right? All the men, hey, come see a man who told me ever that I did, all that I did. They all came out with haste. And the Bible says that Jesus was there a long while and he was teaching and helping and guiding, obviously. The Samaritans loved Jesus. Now later, Jesus would be accused by the Pharisees of being a Samaritan. John chapter number 8 in particular, they say, now we know you have a devil, meaning you're demon-possessed, and you're a Samaritan, meaning he was a half-Jew. And then they also said this, I was reading it, we be not born of fornication. You know what they were calling him? We won't use the terminology tonight. But they were calling him a half-Jew. You don't even have a father. In fact, we don't even know where your mother, you know. And he goes, very kind, Jesus again. He could have, you know, blown him to smithereens, but he didn't. And you think about the accusations hurled at the Lord in this, but he was planted. Planted. Now, as we see the water of life given, are you planted tonight or are you parched? It's okay to be parched, by the way. It's an indication. It's an indication that you're doing something. Some people go, oh, I'm so parched, I'm a terrible Christian. No, you can be parched because you're doing something for God, right? You don't get parched by sitting back eating Doritos on the couch. Well, you do actually. That's pretty salty. You get parched when you're doing something for God, and we have to be busy for God, but also not lose our first love. Now, we said all of those things already, but I want to bring us back to this tonight in Jeremiah 17. Now, notice first of all here, and we'll move ahead, the warning of trust in man and self. He says in verse 5, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that make flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. When you trust man, your heart departs from the Lord. Now, we said this last week. Let's see if I can remember our theme quote for this. Planted is a predetermined position for the progressively pure. There, I said it. Okay. Tonight, we're going to post that, Brother Adam. We are going to post that. You can do it right now if you want to. Planted is a predetermined position for the progressively pure. And so you think about it. Now, he says, cursed be the man that trusts in man, makes flesh his arm. Shouldn't we be trusting in people to help us and guide us? Yeah, to a certain point, but not biblically, we trust in God. Now, it's wise, very wise, to ask for counsel. Proverbs is clear. Man is wise. He has knowledge. If he goes to others, ask counsel. We ought to be doing that. But don't go to the world, like we said last week, in the ungodly way and getting counsel from the ungodly. And he warns us here, do not put your trust in man. You know, Proverbs clearly, Proverbs 28 says, the fool trusts in his own heart. Fool, you say, what? That's completely different from what I've grown up believing. That's completely different from what I grew up hearing. The fool trusts his own heart. Why? Right here. Verse 9, the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now you think about this. Who can trust? Now notice a couple things. The Bible clearly warns us about being a man pleaser. Ephesians 6, I think I got it, sorry. Ephesians 6, verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Colossians 3:22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Those two instances in the Bible where that word man pleaser is mentioned. Are you a man pleaser? It's very easy to do, isn't it, in our society? But you ought to be cautioned and take it to heart as the Lord speaks here. The reason that you're not planted, the reason that you are like he says here, in the desert, parched places, salt land, not inhabited, those are negative things. The reason people are there is because they are serving self and man. Now, be a good citizen, obviously. Do your part. Be nice. Hold the door open. Don't use foul language. Help people. Give them a birthday card. You know, all those things we ought to do. But listen, we don't please. We don't change our doctrine, our theology, our beliefs so that Joe Blow doesn't get offended. We stay true, don't we? Not a man pleaser. Psalm 56:11, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. When you put your trust in God, you're not afraid of what man can do unto you. Yeah, but what if he talks bad about me, gives me a bad name at work, and this? What if she hurts me or harms me? Listen, your trust is in the Lord. You don't fear what man can do to you. You really don't. You have a holy confidence about you. Psalm 118:8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better. Psalm 146:3, put not your trust in princes nor in the son of man, lowercase s-o-n, son of man, in whom there is no help. There's no help. You ever gone to somebody for help before? Help. I need help. They can only do so much for you. Even if they were millionaires, they can only do so much for you. They can only help you so far. You have got to go to something, or as we say, someone, capital S, someone that can truly help and provide and do what you need to do, help you to do what you need to do. That's in God. That's where we have it. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. When you fear man, you enter right into that snare, that trap, and they got you. They got you. Isaiah 36:6, lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed of Egypt, where if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh king of Egypt to all that trust in him. Isn't that a wonderful picture? You're leaning on a staff that's broken and sharp, and then you lean, it pokes through your hand. You ever had that, kids? Had a stick go through your hand? Or some stick, boy, that hurts, doesn't it? And he says, when you trust in man, lean on man, that's what happens. You lean on him, you're going to hurt yourself. You're shooting yourself in the foot. Oh, thinking about it. Philippians 3:4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in flesh, I the more. Warning about trust in man. Now, Ezekiel 13, Let me get over there. Ezekiel 13. If you'd like to turn there, you can. You don't have to. But if you'd like to, Ezekiel 13. Very interesting how he puts it. He's warning against even the prophets that are prophesying, the prophets that are telling people that everything's okay, everything's going to be fine. Notice what he says. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, son of man, Prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy, notice, out of their own hearts. What did he just say? Don't trust your own heart. Don't trust in man. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Capital. Or exclamation. They've seen nothing. Nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the desert. Verse 6, they have seen vanity, lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Other people, oh, I've seen it. God spoke to me. God told me what to do. God's blessing our church, and God's blessing me, and boy, I'm God's man, and blah, 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 blah. And God says, I haven't said anything to you. I haven't said anything through him. He's a liar. He's pushing out, following their own heart. Notice that. They've seen nothing. They've seen nothing. Again, coming back to trust in man. And by the way, if I'm preaching and I'm teaching and I say something that you see in the Bible, and I say something that disagrees with the Bible, you have every right to come and tell me and correct me in that. And you say, Brother Tim, I don't think you meant to say that, but I think you contradicted. And you got to show me, by the way, you got to show me verse, chapter and verse. But I am wrong and the Bible's right every time. You're wrong and the Bible's right every time, right? And that's what we come back to. Now, coming back to our text here, Jeremiah 17, we see warning of trust. Now, notice, let me say number two, the watered roots of the righteous. There's the warning, but there's the watered roots of the righteous. You have a water. Now, again, verse number 8 of Jeremiah 17, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Notice that. Shall not cease from yielding fruit. Not worried about the drought. Not worried about when tough times are coming. They know God's in control. Proverbs 12:3. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. Shall not be moved. It coincides exactly with what Jesus said as he closed out the Sermon on the Mount. He said, I'll tell you who, the man who takes and hears the word of God, but applies it. He's like one that goes and builds his house upon the rock. The wind and rain beat upon it. The storm comes in life, and everyone has storms, but it doesn't move. The person that hears the word of God and what doesn't apply it to their lives is like the person who went and built a sandcastle, built their house on the sand, and the wind and rain came and it blew it down. Huffing a puffing, it blew it down. Fell down. We think about the root of the righteous shall not be moved. And I love the song. I shall not be moved. Remember that? I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. All other ground is sinking sand. On this solid rock I stand, and on this solid rock our church is built. On this solid rock your family's held together. This solid rock your marriage is together. All other ground is sinking sand, right? All other ground. I wish more Christians would believe that. Proverbs 12:12, the wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. It yieldeth fruit. And when the root is healthy, the fruit is healthy. Isaiah 53:2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. Now he's talking about Jesus Christ there. That's a prophecy of Jesus. He will be like a root out of a dry ground. He will be something. He will be the water of life. Again, as we think about, oh, we are yielding fruit, the root, the watering of the tree, if you will, of the righteous. Let me say thirdly, there's the wicked heart that is parched. The wicked heart. Verse number 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? It's wicked. Now you say, I'm not a very mean, wicked, hard-hearted, cruel person. You're not. You're a nice, sweet person. You're a good person. You help people. You love people. You pray for people. You help, but you have to be careful. We start to think that our heart is good and we can do right. We can go ahead and move forward by our own understanding, our own heart. What happens? We have to come back and say, God, I understand I can't do anything without you. Nothing. The wicked heart. Deuteronomy 15:9. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother. He goes on. Be careful, he says, about thy wicked heart. And we want to read a little text here in Isaiah 35, as he brings us out that the wicked, let me find it. I don't know if I have it. Oh, there it is, verse 7, Isaiah 35, says, "And the parched ground shall become a pool, the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes." And he goes on. He's talking about that precious moment when Christ is coming and a prophecy of Christ once again. "But the wicked heart shall be parched." The opposite, wicked. "And Psalm 10:3, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth." The wicked boasteth in his heart's desire. He blessed the covetous person. We have a lot of people like that today, don't we? A lot of celebrities, a lot of famous people. They bless the covetous person. Oh, they're doing a great job. They're helping our society. They're providing. They're taking care of things. Pop stars and rock stars and movie stars. They bless the covetous. If you have money, if you have good looks and popular, then you're doing good. Where's the righteous? Where are the planted people? Again, it's saying, coming back to you. "The wicked heart shall be parched." Psalm 10:13, "Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He hath said in his heart, thou wilt not require it." You know what the wicked says? God won't require it. The wicked says, I'll get away with it. The wicked says, I'll live how I want to live. And then at the end, at some point in my life, I'll get right with God and serve him. The wicked says, I will not be punished for my wicked deeds. I won't. And sadly, they'll find out very soon. Now, the wicked heart of the parched. Let me say here, fourthly, the ways of the righteous are truly rewarded. They're rewarded. Now, again, notice verse 10 in our text. "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." What is the Lord doing? He's searching the heart. He wants to give to every man according to his ways. He wants to give to every man according to the fruit of his doings. God wants to bless your life. He really does. He wants to give you what you want. He wants to give you the desires of thine heart. And when a man's ways please the Lord, what? He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. When your enemies are at peace with you, there's something right's going on. Now, not all the time, because things come into our life, people come into our life for God to maybe try us or work in our lives, again, to produce some fruit. But again, God is at work. He says, I want to search your heart. I want to try the reins so I can give to you. Notice that, give. You might want to underline, give. Psalm 1:6 again. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Proverbs 2, verse 20. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. You ought to have some good friends in your life. Friends that encourage you. Friends that build you up. Family members that build you up. Friends and family and other people, co-workers that build you up. People that don't build you up spiritually, you might want to back off a little bit. You might want to say, well, I want to maybe take a step back. Why? Because we got to walk in the way of good men. The ways of the righteous are always rewarded. The psalmist says, I've been old, I've been young, I've been old, and I've never seen what? The righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Meaning, he's never seen God's hand lifted off of a life, off of a family, off a mother or father or a child. That is righteous. He's never seen it. The unrighteous, we understand. Now, are you planted tonight? Planted by the rivers. Planted by that water. Well, what water? How about the water of life? The Bible. It's about time that we need to get serious about the Bible. It's about time we need to get serious about the things of God. Why? Folks, you don't know. Jesus could return tonight. He could call us home tonight. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You're planning on work tomorrow. You're planning on the meals for the week. You're planning on doing school this week. You're planning on other things for the summer. And God may take your life tonight. Sad to say, right? That's what Jesus said. He said, thou fool. The man said, I'll go. I don't know what I'll do. I'll go home. I'll build a bigger barn. Yeah, that's what I'll do. so I can put more grain in it. I know what I'll do. I'll build bigger things and brighter. I'll get more stuff together so I can have more money, more people. And God says, thou fool. Tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. Tonight you're going to die of a heart attack in your sleep, basically. What you think about, we ought to be cautious and careful. Are you planted tonight? And the one place that I want to be found when Christ comes or he calls me home tomorrow, I want to be planted. Planted by the rivers of water. Planted. Now, a couple things here. Way of the righteous, I have several verses. Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Jeremiah 12:1, righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are they happy that deal very treacherously. Do you ever wonder that? Why do the wicked prosper? Why do they deal treacherously and they're happy about it? How can they live such a wicked life and make so much money? You know, how do they have such nice things and yet they serve self and they've abandoned their family and they don't keep themselves pure at work and at school? How can they prosper and be so happy and healthy all the time? That's what Jeremiah asked. And God said, well, you just hang on. You just hang on. As we saw this morning, he said, Moses said, Lord, I've come and I've done all this and we've done everything you told us to do and all we've seen is evil and heartache and pain. And God says, hang on, hang on. Chapter 6 of Exodus, he says, you're about to see now the power of God. You're about to see who's in control. You're about to see. And it comes all the way down through those 10 plagues, and the last plague, or the last thing that happens, I should say, is he takes all of the firstborn sons, doesn't he? Pharaoh says, the diviners can't do that. The sorcerers can't do that. I realize who's in control. I realize who's all-powerful and all-knowing. And my friends, today we are on the winning side, as I said, and we have the victory. Let me close with this, Ezekiel 13:22. Because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that they should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. Notice that. You've lied and made the heart of the righteous sad. You've said that what you're doing is not good. Why you go to church on Sunday night, that's not healthy. It's boring. You go to church and you do these things, it's not right. You need to take your kids to do something else. Staying focused on the Word of God, you're not going to make a lot of money that way. Being a good employee and having a good testimony and having a good marriage and all of that when it's difficult, you're not going to make any headway in life. You're not going to make any money. You're not going to be popular. But he says, you've lied and made the heart of the righteous sad, who I have not made sad. God said, I've not made them sad. And by the way, when you listen to the world and watch the world and stay in the world and adhere to what the world has for you, and they tell you what to wear and they tell you where to go and they tell you what to say and what to listen to, you will be sad. You will be empty. You will be broken, truly broken. But when you follow the Word of God and follow the things of God and listen to God and follow through and do what He's asked you to do, Jeremiah says, He knows your way. He knows. He wants to give you according to the fruit of your doings. Do you know God rewards you? He is, Hebrews 11 says, He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. A rewarder. What's in it for me? The disciples came to Jesus one day. You remember that? What's in it for us, Lord? We've left all and followed you. We've left our jobs. We're not making any money. My wife is asking me, how are we going to pay the bills? All you do is follow Jesus around all the time. How are we going to pay the bills? What's in it for us, Lord? It's a legitimate question. And Jesus says what? All that you've seen and all that you have in me and plus all that you have in eternal life. All that you have. Are you planted tonight in Christ? Are you planted where you should be planted? Are you staying in Him? Again, let me say this. I said last week. But be progressive. Be progressive. Keep moving forward. And the way to do that, you know, is right here in this book. Plant yourself in this book. People say it's boring, it's archaic. Have you even tried to read it? People say, oh, it's old school, man. I can't even understand that thing. Have you tried to read it? I don't believe the Bible, I heard one guy say. Have you read it? Well, no, but I don't believe it. Stay in the Bible. Plant yourself in the Bible. Those of you kids that can read, I know some of you are learning how to read. Plant yourself in the Bible and stay in the Bible and stay focused on the Bible. It's hard to do, but you will find yourself to be planted, healthy. You will not be parched. You will be planted. And just like that hot summer day when you worked outside and you sweat on your brow, you felt like you were going to die, you take a drink of that ice cold water. Oh, that feels so good, doesn't it? That's what God wants to do in your life. That's what God wants to do in your marriage. That's what God wants to do with your parent-child relationship. That's what God wants to do in your finances, doesn't He? He wants to do that. If we'll come back and say, God, it's not of me. I'm not trusting my heart. I know my heart. I know I'm a good person. I'm a good person, but I know my heart. And it goes after money, and it'll go after covetousness. It'll go after the things that please me, and I don't want to do that. I want to be planted. Are you planted tonight? Amen? All right. All right. I pray that was a help and a blessing to you. Planted or parched? We're going to look at a third part next week, Lord willing, and see where He directs us in that. But again, it is a predetermined position for us if we'll stay in Him and in His Word. All right. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being so faithful. Again, I don't say that enough. You dear folks take the brunt of it. I appreciate you. But thank you so much for being faithful and staying true to the Lord. Okay, I'll pray and we'll be dismissed tonight. Lord, thank you again for this time. And Father, I pray as we're here tonight, Lord, as a family, we really are. God, I pray that you'd help us as a family to come together, stay focused, and Father, strengthen us this week. Plant us, Lord, in thy word. You want to see us prosper. You want to bless our lives, Lord. Oh God, how we need that. Strengthen us to avoid those feelings or heart, direction, of our hearts, wanting to do its own thing. May we come back to thy precious word and the leading of the Spirit to do it your way, for that's the most prosperous way, Lord. That's the guaranteed way. Lord, we ask for your help in that. Bless our children. Bless our relationships, Lord. Bless our marriages. Bless our families especially. And bless our church, God. Protect us, please, in thy precious name. Thank you for this wonderful day to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.